the Amateur MILF Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Rosie and Sinead, and we are
Just Trying.
Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average non-famous mums who live average non-famous lives, although if we get famous, we're not complaining. And next time we do a live show, we might ask Banksy to come and do some kind of live art installation. If he could, that would be nice.
I think that Banksy would love to do that.
I think if we can get a crowd as big as Idols did at Glastonbury, then Banksy would do it for us.
I mean, of course Idols have Banksy on their speed dial.
Well, no, they didn't know it was him.
Did they not know it was him.
So for those who don't know, first of all, if you don't know, then you're not my friend. at Glastonbury, my favourite band of all time, Idols, did their best set ever.
I thought you were about to say, my best friends.
My best friends, I wish. They put on an incredible show, which, you know, part of the way through, they got the whole crowd to sit down while they shouted, "Fuck the King." That was fun. They did a big thing. They had like a big sign saying "Ceasefire now" at the end. But then Banksy had like a rubber dinghy with like model children in it passed around the crowd, which was amazing. And he put it in the crowd during a song called "Danny Nedelko," which is a pro-immigration song. Mm. And it made me want to cry with happiness because it was a really beautiful moment. So if Banksy is listening, some kind of like Stormzy stab vest.
Oh yeah.
Rubber dinghy collab kind of merge thing would be nice. I don't know, maybe like some kind of mum outfit.
Banksy, will you please paint us a pair of Lucy and Yak dungarees?
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm into that. Like a political statement, but in the form of a Lucy and Yak dungaree.
Yeah. See, I think there is no media literacy nowadays because the dinghy, I thought, was a lovely statement. Mm. But people were up in arms about it
on
X, the platform formerly known as Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were like...
really angry.
They were like, it's so shitty that all these middle-class people that are paying £300 to go to Glastonbury... I mean, it's more than £300 to go to Glastonbury, but go off. But, like, it's like, they're just taking the piss out of immigrants. It's like,
That's literally the opposite of
the
that.
The opposite of taking the piss out of immigrants.
It's literally the opposite. Do you know what's really funny, though, is that you've picked up on that side of things. The side I picked up on was people in sort of, especially like right-wing media and right-wing commentary saying that, oh, the BBC have always said they're going to be impartial with politics and they're letting stuff like this be put out live on the BBC. And you're like, it's literally a band with an opinion.
They can't
be impartial about that.
It's also Idols aren't the BBC.
No, in fact, they're very the opposite.
All the BBC is contracted to do is to record what's happening at Glastonbury.
Yeah, much like the news.
And supposedly broadcast it. So it would be less impartial for them not to screen that.
Uh-huh. Right? Insane. My favourite thing about the Idols set at Glastonbury was that I think it was the Daily Mail Online which posted the thing about the impartiality problems with the BBC. And someone had highlighted a comment, which I really loved. Someone had commented on it going, about how awful it was and stuff, but like, oh, don't worry about them. Who are they anyway? This time next year, nobody will have even heard of them. And we're like, it's literally one of the most important rock bands in the world. I think people will have heard of them by next year. This woman was obviously trying to be like, oh, these lefties, they know nothing. There'll be nothing next year. They'll have nothing. I found that really funny because they definitely will.
And you know the only thing that she listens to is Capital Radio.
Yeah, exactly. She thinks Coldplay are too ruckus for her. Did you watch the Coldplay set?
Did I fuck?
No, I didn't.
I would rather kill myself.
Yeah, no thank you. Did you watch anything on Glastonbury that you'd like to give a shout out?
I watched the Fontaine set. That's the only thing I've watched so far.
Well, it was mega though, wasn't it?
It was mega.
Fontaine's
it was so
amazing.
Like atmospheric.
Yeah,
it really
was.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I had a great time because I stole my cousin's baby. and just danced around the living room with
Please
her.
Please define stole.
I just borrowed her for a bit. And I gave her back.
I think this is really good auntie kind of content, isn't it? Because you took a baby from the mother so that she could have some time out, and then you instilled, much like in The Clockwork Orange when they like hold the eyeballs open, but with the ear, instilled like really good music taste from a very early age.
Yeah, I just removed her and I was like, Jade, me and Kinley are going to go to Glastonbury.
We're going to go to Glastonbury and watch some good music now, just so that when they're older and they're very, very cool, you'll be like, that was me.
That was me.
I did that from day one. That was mine. I saw, yeah, Fontaine's DC were fantastic. Idols were obviously brilliant. I watched King Cruel today. Have you heard of King Cruel?
Yes.
He was very cool. Liked him a lot.
Bob Dylan did a set with Softplay, didn't they?
No, they did a song with Softplay.
They came on
and did a song with them, and then Bob Dylan crowd surfed, which is really funny because when he jumped into the crowd, there was a moment because Bob Dylan, well, half of Bob Dylan, he's quite a tall man.
Yeah, he's a very large
very, very
man.
Very, very tall man. And he jumped into the crowd and it was like the first moment was like, whoa! And then the second moment where everyone sort of caught him, there was a real, like, moment of fear where it was like, they all kind of buckled slightly and it was like, he's not going to make it. And it was very, very close whether he was going to make that crowd surf work or not, because I think they were very close to dropping him. And then he carried on going and it was fine. But I suspect the people who caught him have probably got very achy shoulders today. yeah, that was fun. I can't think of anything else. We're not here to talk about music, are we? We're here to talk about politics.
Yeah.
This is me. This is me being like, I don't know if I'm ready to talk about politics because I might cry. Can we talk about Glastonbury, please?
And then you're like, immigrant dummies in a rubber dinghy.
Banksy, please help us. Before we talk politics, would you like to give me your week in a sentence?
I would. And my week in a sentence this week is that there is great power in being a personality hire.
Excuse me?
So have you ever had a job?
I have. Yeah, all right. An artist is a job, actually, Sinead. I've actually got a job.
No, have you ever had a job and, like, you're just there to bring vibes?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't go to work to hustle and grind.
No.
I go to work to gossip and chit-chat.
Yeah.
And I just had a real moment of being personality hire today in a meeting where I was just kind of yapping at the person that I was in a meeting with.
I think it's really important.
And they were being really, like, receptive to my yapping. And I was just, I was very, very happy. And I was like, this is what I'm meant to do.
I have to listen to a lot of Dave's meetings when he works from home. And, I mean, I could just go into a different room, but sometimes I can't be bothered and I just listen. And Dave is not a vibe for hire member of staff, right? But this is why I'm bringing it up, because there needs to be people like you in every team, in every job, because predominantly there are people like Dave who don't want to speak and don't feel comfortable doing small talk, don't feel comfortable doing any speaking at all. His only like input to most of his meetings are at the end when he says goodbye. And so there needs to be people like you to making it like flow, make things happen and getting people to talk. The only thing I would say to you, Sinead, and I'm sure you know this, but you have to know when to stop yapping, because there is nothing worse, because I listen in a lot. I don't do it to myself because I don't have meetings alone. There's nothing worse than when someone says, okay, we're right about the end of the meeting. Does anyone have any questions? Anyone want to say anything else? If you're the person going, yeah, I have other things to say. Actually, I've got some questions.
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Never.
That's not the role of the personality hire, Rosie.
No. You know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing, is that if you're talking after that bit, then you're not personality for hire. You are an idiot.
Yes. And what's your week in a sentence on that note?
My week in a sentence is quite apt, saying the word idiot. Don't take your dog into the countryside unless you're absolutely, completely used to it.
Okay, context.
So when we had our live show,
mm-hmm.
which was really good, by the way, guys, we don't have time to talk about it because we've got to talk politics. But because the girls were staying at Dave's mum and dad's, it meant it was just me and Dave on our own. So we thought it'd be a good idea to take our dog for a walk together. It's usually just me, like, power walking through the estates of Leicester. But we decided we'd take a nice amble through the countryside because you can go over a train bridge quite close to my house into the countryside. And two things happened. First of all, we went into the wrong field. And I'm not kidding, Sinead, we were halfway through that field, which took us maybe 2 minutes to get to the middle of, and the farmer showed up to tell us off. And he was fucking scary. I managed to charm him with my Leicester small talk. And Dave said I did very, very well, but he was so scary. He was like tattoos. He had the biggest scar I have ever seen on his head and his leg. And I said to Dave, like, do you think that's from fighting? And he was like, no, it's probably from heavy machinery, Rosie. He's a farmer. And he kind of like, once he realised that we were all right and that I was okay and you, we were like, I'm so, so sorry. And like all of this, he kind of like, he didn't threaten us with his scary dogs, but he just let us know that he's got scary dogs. And if he let them out by accident, that they would kill our dog. So we were like, holy shit. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I used to play in these fields when I was a kid.
Please don't kill my dog.
But they've changed it all because the train tracks have been worked on. So these new pathways have been put in through all the like diggers and shit. And so I just went the wrong way. And within seconds, this guy was there to just be like, what are you doing? I was like, we're in the wrong field, aren't we? I'm so, so sorry. And we talked him around and it was fine. And we left on a really good note. And it was really nice in the end, but you could see it could turn very easily. And then we managed to get to the canal, which is where we were headed. And we walked down the canal and bloody swans on the track just couldn't go through. So there were two swans on the track with like four babies. And Dave was like, it's fine. I'll just like walk past them. I was like, we literally can't walk past them. They've got babies. And he's like, I'll be okay. And I was like, the swans can break your arm. We can't go through them. This isn't like a bear hunt situation. We can't go through.
I love how there's two things that everybody knows about swans. And yeah. That's that they all belong to the king.
Yes.
And they can break your arm.
They can break your arm.
They know. No one knows anything else about swans.
I don't think there is any other information apart from they are... bird? Bird. Definitely bird.
Can't kill them.
Can't kill them.
Shouldn't break kill them arm. Anyway.
Shouldn't kill them anyway. But yeah, we sort of tried, because we had Dobby with us as well, and I know that swans kind of kick off with dogs. So we were getting closer and closer, and they went, I'll go closer. And then one of them got up and started hissing, and I was like, no, we're fucking out of here.
You.
So we have to go back the other way.
Listen, I got bit by a goose when I was a kid.
They're scary creatures. Yeah, man. I'm so glad we didn't do it.
A goose can probably break your arm.
A goose could break your arm easy. But we went back the other way, and then we felt really stupid. I was like, I'm really sorry, we couldn't do it. And then a bloke I sort of know was jogging and he ran past us and he was like, did you see them swans back there? And I was like, yeah, we didn't dare go through. And he's like, no, me neither. I've gone all the way around. So that made us feel really good. So,
yeah, you'd made the wise decision.
Pete, if you're listening, cheers for that. We needed it. Thanks, that's my weakness sentence. Anyway.
So what are we here to talk about today, Rosie?
Oh, I don't want to talk. This is the problem, Sinead. I don't want to talk about it because I'm low-key very, very anxious. So scared.
So I'm sure everybody knows, but for those that don't, we've got the Jenny Lek.
Big old Jenny Lek coming up. And when are we gonna put this out here? Are we gonna put it out on the election day or the day before? Election day is Thursday, yes?
Yeah, so the day before is tomorrow.
So do we post it on Jenny Lek Day or the day before? Because I guess if we do it the day before, then we need to be kind of persuading people to vote the way we want them to. Yeah. If we do it on vote day, then all fucking bets are off and we can just talk about politics. I mean, I'm here to, you know, I'm happy to persuade people to just not vote Conservative or Reform.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy to do that. But mainly, we're just going to talk about the election and politics in general because obviously it's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you scared?
Shitting myself.
Yeah.
I think every election that's happened since I've been able to vote
has been shit.
Has gone badly for
very, me. Very, very badly wrong, me too.
And yeah, so even agreed. Though I like read the opinion polls and I know that it's extremely likely that the outcome will be what is preferable to me.
Yeah, yeah. Best case scenario.
I'm still low-key scared.
Yeah, me too.
Because remember how closely run Brexit was.
Yeah.
I remember how closely run, like, Clinton-Trump was.
Yeah. And I remember both of those days, the morning after, and just looking at my phone, seeing it straight pop up on my phone the second I looked at it, just bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is this world?
Yeah, I'm just scared. I'm just scared, man. We've had, what, 14 years of this? Yeah. And I don't know how many more years
I can take.
Yeah, I can take.
Yeah, it is really, really scary, isn't it? I think we're at a point where most people can agree that this government isn't working anymore. Even for people who sort of like are, generally speaking, quite right-wing or kind of right, kind of facing, can all agree that this government are
shit.
They're yeah. doing a really, really terrible job for everybody.
We've not had an elected prime minister since, what, 2019?
And they've just been, like, completely ruining the country.
Yeah. Since Liz Truss killed the Queen.
Famously killed the Queen. She's like, I don't know, Liz Truss, I nearly said her name wrong. Liz Truss reminds me a little bit of like Lady Jane Grey. And that she's like remembered for just not being there for very long.
Yeah.
She's always going to be remembered as, you know, the queen that reigned for 7 days or whatever it was, right?
I mean, to be fair, you've got to respect her for fucking what? Showing up, killing the queen, getting fucking her off. Bag and fucking off. And she's getting what, like over 100 grand a year for the privilege?
And talking about the importation of cheese.
Yeah.
That's it. That's like, all she's going
to... That's all Liz Truss's job now. Like, if I could have shown up, killed the queen and got paid 100 grand a year for the privilege...
Yeah, I mean, I'd take those odds.
You know what?
I'd take those odds. Why not?
She's my favourite out of the very, very rotten bunch of Tory prime ministers we've just had.
So can we discuss very quickly, before we look at policies, I just want your opinion, really, on... So we're both obviously, like, left-wing.
Yeah.
We're clearly left-wing because we're not idiots.
Yeah, we're clearly left-wing.
Because... And we are also right.
Yeah, because we're
correct. We're left wing because we're correct.
We're hot. We have tattoos.
So just for the record, if anyone's listening, if you're not left wing, then you're wrong.
Yeah.
Fundamentally wrong on every single level. But no, the thing I want to bring up is, what is it about the Conservative government that right wing people are now like not happy about? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is it that, like...
Well, people that will vote Reform...
That's like, Conservatives aren't right-wing enough.
Yeah, they're saying Conservatives aren't right-wing enough. They're saying, bring back Nazism. They're saying...
yeah.
They're saying, burn immigrants at the stake.
So, burn immigrants at the stake. We really love Hitler.
They're saying, fuck the gays. Fuck the trans.
Yeah. All of that. But what about all the others?
Because really, people that actually vote, like, people that are Tories, like, they vote and believe in the Conservative Party, I think a lot of them will say things like, well, I'm fiscally conservative, but socially liberal.
Okay,
which is a phrase that really pisses me off. They're people that prioritise money and, like, property over human lives.
Are we thinking like
in my opinion
they're kind of like on board with like the American dream style of doing things? What's mine is mine,
what's yours is also mine.
that's communism. What's mine is mine, and if I have loads of it you can all fuck off.
Yeah,
sorry if you're struggling but it's mine.
Yeah.
And I can see why people who are super rich think that way.
Yeah.
Get it. But also, come on.
It's like that kind of...
Come on. Come on, guys.
It's like that idea, isn't it? That people say, like, the older you get, the more conservative you will become.
Oh, just shoot me.
Because...
Shoot me.
The funny thing is, you see people in our generation, and that we've gone completely the other way.
Mm.
And I think because in previous generations, it's like... you are steadily gaining wealth.
Yeah.
And you can buy a house for like a packet of crisps and 50p.
And you deserve to keep your wealth.
And that's you deserve to keep your wealth.
Yeah.
But we
like our generation, people our age and younger, just aren't getting that.
We get to keep our wealth. Our wealth being student debt.
A packet of crisps and 50p.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of pounds of student debt. A very small house, if a house at all. And that's about it. Yeah, this is it. And I think the other thing as well is like...
And a lot of Conservative voters are about like maintaining the status quo.
Yeah, it is.
Like they don't care about reform. They don't want change. They want like this idealised version of Little England that never really existed. They want cream cakes and tea and God Save the Queen and fucking what's her face? Who is she?
Which one?
Her that sang that song. That everyone was playing during COVID because everyone was like comparing COVID to World War II.
Oh.
And playing World War II songs. Vera Lynn
and the White Cliffs of Dover and all that shit.
That's what they've all convinced themselves that they fought in World War II.
Despite having
not been born till 15 years after World War II ended.
Yeah.
Like, that is the Conservative vote. But then there are young Conservatives and I just don't fucking know what's wrong with them cunts.
Yeah, what if they... Well, I'll tell you what. Private school. I think that's what's wrong with them. I think one of the things I've noticed about, and you're right, it's about a kind of like sticking to what we know, because what we don't know is scary. And I think that that's why all the generations above us are really struggling with like the trans debate and the gender debate, because it's unknown. And it's like even people who I would consider super left wing are still kind of questioning trans rights and gender rights and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's something that it is unknown.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that, like, I keep clinging on to with myself and hoping that I don't go in that direction is just, like, I'm just going to believe the people younger than me know what they're talking about. Because they do.
Well, for
me, living it.
It's like,
they know.
I'm going to believe that the person experiencing the thing...
Knows more than I do.
Knows more than I do. It's like when Black Lives Matter really kicked off during COVID.
Yeah.
And you had white people trying to speak over black people and tell them how they should react to what was happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, black people know how to react to that because
Absolutely.
That's their community.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
Yeah.
Who are we to question how they react to a situation that they've been put in by white people?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's
the problem, Sinead, and I think that's why this is a problem with sort of like, unfortunately, white men and sort of male privilege is because they always think they know better.
The G spot doesn't exist, mate. That's just feminist propaganda.
They just think they know better, and it's just like, hopefully, this generation or the generations below us are just going to stamp all of that out.
I have really high hopes for our kids' generation.
I have high hopes for our kids' generation if our generations above us don't fuck it up too much for them.
Yeah, if the planet
because
isn't
if it
on
does,
fire.
This is why I genuinely think, like, this is why I'm so worried about this election, because this is our fight, this is our chance, because so many people are disenfranchised with the Tories. This is our chance to get them out and get rid of all that shit that comes with them.
It does kind of feel like a last stand in a way, because... Yeah. I think the last time I really felt excited by politics was voting for Jeremy Corbyn's Labour in 2019. And I don't feel excited to be voting the way that I'm voting in this election.
Me neither. But I just...
In fact, I'm begrudgingly voting the way I'm voting in this election.
I'm doing a begrudgingly tactical vote.
I'm voting brackets. Annoyed about it.
Yeah, sorry, I'll try not to complain about it, but you will hear me complain about it, close bracket.
Yeah.
definitely. Okay, so we thought that we would go through some policies, right?
So we've been through the manifestos for the kind of bigger parties. So we're going to do Conservatives, Labour, Greens, Lib Dems and Reform. We've picked out their policies that would impact families, like impact family life, impact motherhood the most.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's so much more to talk about in terms of what's in their manifestos, but we don't have time to
we simply
do that.
Don't have the we simply don't have the time.
We've already been speaking for 25 minutes.
And we've not even got onto policies.
And we've not even got onto policies. So we've just picked out kind of the things that jumped out to us as kind of being the family-focused policies for each of the parties. And we're going to talk about them and...
let you guys decide. We're not biased at all, are we? We're completely...
we're going to talk about it in a completely unbiased way. And just... nobody is going to call Nigel Farage a cunt.
Just like the Glastonbury coverage on the BBC. It's completely impartial. Fuck you guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but, you know, come on. Also, just, sorry, backtrack to that whole Glastonbury thing. They've got fucking Greenpeace banners everywhere. On every single stage. Like, who are we kidding here?
Yeah.
I know you wanted a quiet night in to watch Dua Lipa and fucking Coldplay. And then you're offended that people are talking about, like... you know, immigration and fucking the king. But do you know what I mean?
You know what?
Grow up, Karen.
I will not be tolerating Dua Lipa hate.
Oh, I mean, I can't hate Sinead. I genuinely now, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, do not know who she is.
Of course you don't.
I've seen a picture of her on sort of like advertisements for Glastonbury, and that is it. That's all I can give you.
But she is a Kosovan immigrant.
Lovely.
But, like, came over in the war.
Well, Sinead, I hope that you're not voting Tory or she'll be out, won't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, goodbye.
She'll be sent to Rwanda.
But yeah, no hate for Julie because
no
she's not a Tory.
Oh, shit. I've just remembered I've missed one off my list. Little Sims. Did you see the Little Sims set?
No.
Watch the Little Sims set. She's amazing. Amazing. Anyway.
I need to get on and watch some Glastonbury this year because usually I do watch quite a lot of it, but I've just not been in the house.
Do you know why? Because you're worried about the Jenny Leck.
I am worried about the Jenny Leck.
Low-key anxious about it. It's making you on edge and it's making you not want to watch live music. It's feeling a bit sick. Okay, you don't want to go to a Portaloo.
Anyway, shall we talk about policies?
Yeah, who are we going to start with?
Shall we start with...
I mean, we could just go top to bottom.
Yeah, let's go top to bottom.
Why not?
Do you want me to do the first one?
Go on then.
So we're going to kick off with Lib Dems.
Which is unusual, I think. This is what makes us stand out from most podcasts, is we're not starting with the most obvious.
Mm-mm.
We're going to start with Lib Dem.
Yeah, we're going to start with Lib Dem, which is... These are policies that I really like.
Okay.
So in their manifesto, they want to double statutory maternity pay, which okay. I think is...
I'll be honest, I read that and I couldn't make sense of it because you've written double stat mat pay. And I saw the last word as play, not pay. So I've read it as double stat mat play. And I was like, I'm sorry.
What does
that mean? I don't have a real job. I do not understand. I'm really good at painting and collage.
But I think that would be great because current statutory maternity pay is
sweet fuck all. Yeah. That would be nice.
They also want to introduce 6 weeks of paternity leave at the same rate as the maternity pay that they want to introduce as their statutory maternity.
It's currently 2 weeks, isn't it?
2 weeks, which I think is... I have long had a bugbear with paternity leave policies because I don't think... like, even as a single mum, like, this is something that's really got under my skin for quite a long time.
Like, for no reason.
I've got no skin in this game. I've got no horse in this race.
You're cheering from the sidelines.
I'm cheering from the sidelines, but I think that a woman having a baby and then her partner having 2 weeks with her and the baby, and 2 weeks isn't even time to... You're not even...
a human.
Stopped bleeding.
No, mate. At that point. It's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
And for them to then go back to work and you for to be left on your own with a baby.
Yeah.
It's just...
Dave did 2 weeks paternity and then he took 2 weeks holiday, so he did 4 weeks. And the day he went back was the day my mental health drastically dropped.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're right, like at 2 weeks after having a baby...
you're still so
vulnerable. You barely stand up and walk to the toilet because you're so fucked in the vagina. Like, you can't even... truly, you're still like, I think 2 weeks in, you're still at that point where when you get out of bed, you're like hunched over and like hobbling to the bathroom. And then it's like, okay, darling, now go back to work then, and I'll look after this baby all of the time.
And I think that's really what sets up that inequality in the home. Like, mm-hmm. that's what sets up mum as default carer. That's what sets up mum being the person that takes on that whole emotional load.
Yeah. Because that's, it's like, because 2 weeks in, done.
He goes back to work.
And do you know what's really funny as well? They say, there's that saying, isn't there, that a woman becomes a mother the second she becomes pregnant, and a man becomes a father as soon as the baby's born. And so what? He becomes a father when the baby's born, and then 2 weeks later, he goes.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful.
Two weeks of fatherhood. There you go.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm very behind that policy. Then they want large employers to be mandated to publish their parental leave policies.
Oh, that's nice.
I think is great because it kind of names and shames the companies that aren't doing well enough. Because big companies, like, I don't quote me on this because I could be wrong, but I think it's Aviva that offer a really, really competitive paternity leave package. Well, it's not just paternity leave, it's parental leave across the board.
Mm.
So I think that it is 6 months at full pay, 6 months at half pay for anybody that is a new parent, regardless of whether you're a mum, a dad, if you are a queer couple and your partner's had a baby, if you're adopting, it just applies across the board.
Like, which carer, I think, carer of child.
Yeah, which I think is, I think that's the way that we need to go with it to kind of instigate there being any kind of equality between people that are in a relationship and have children.
Yeah. Hard agree.
They also want to introduce neonatal care leave, so extended leave for parents that have babies that end up in NICU.
I mean, the fact that that isn't already a thing is
heinous.
Shocking.
Yeah. I mean, there are individual companies that will offer this as a policy, but it's not a lot of companies.
And also, it's going to be one of those class things, isn't it, where the companies that are offering it are probably companies that are actually already looking after their staff really well and paying them properly. So it's going to be all those other fuckers who are doing, like, zero-hour contracts and treating people like shit that also, on top of that, are going, oh, by the way, if you've got a sick baby, deal with it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They also want to offer a toddler top-up for child benefit. So when the child hits one, they want to increase the rate of child benefit.
That, to me, makes sense.
Which makes sense. Yeah. Because babies start to cost more money at that
babies
age.
Babies don't really cost that much.
No. But they do when you have to start feeding them snacks.
Yeah, exactly. So true. Very especially for my children, when they're very specific about what crisps they eat, and it's usually the really fancy ones. So,
But they've not specified by how much that might be, but that's in there.
It's there.
It's there. And then they also want to review the current funded childcare package. So, you know how we currently have funded childcare for certain hours for certain children?
Oh, I mean, let's not go into too much detail, otherwise I'll just throw myself out your window.
But the amount that the government is paying to fund those hours does not correlate with the amount that it's costing the nursery to run the nursery for those hours.
No, it does not.
So Lib Dems want to look at that kind of as a whole and kind of figure out a way for it to work.
Yeah.
For both families and childcare settings.
Makes sense.
Which I think is a great policy.
Well, do you know what, Sinead? I would just like to say at this point, well done, Lib Dems, because that's a really nice set of policies. But unfortunately, there is only one person to blame, and that is Nick Clegg, for going over to the dark side and after promising free student fees. So the Lib Dems are dead to me, and they will be forever. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, because I know that they're like they could be a good party, but, you know, Nick Clegg's ruined it for you guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Never going to happen. I'm sorry. Anyway. Next up, Labour. It's the big boys.
the big boys.
It's the big dogs, the front runners.
Come on, Labour. Right, let's see what they've got then. Free breakfast clubs for primary school age children. Yes, fucking please.
Yeah, it's a great policy.
Yes, please.
The only thing that I would say is that really doesn't... It would be helpful for working parents, but most working parents work 9 till 5.
Yeah, I think what would be more useful is just free lunches across the board.
Yeah.
Free school dinners across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're supposed to be doing Labour's policies, but lest we forget that it took a footballer to try and persuade the Conservatives to give some free school meals to children. So that's the sort of level we're at. So if we're getting free breakfast, I mean, at this point, I'll take a free breakfast.
Yeah, sure. I think this is more sure introduced from like a childcare perspective.
Yeah.
Because breakfast clubs typically run from about 7:30. So I think the idea is for parents to be able to drop their children off at school at 7:30.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is a useful policy for working parents unless you also offer an after school club that is free as well.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's like much of muchness, isn't it?
Yeah,
true. This one I like, though. Open 3,500 new nurseries, 100,000 new places for children, because I can't believe how hard it is to get a child into a nursery. Like, fair enough with schools, right? It's different for schools because it's like about your catchment area. It's about where school is free, right?
Yeah.
But when you're talking about something that it's a service that's been provided that you are predominantly going to pay for.
Pay a fuck ton of money for as well.
And you can't even get into the fucker.
Yeah.
It's wild to me that people are struggling to get into nurseries because there's not enough spaces.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, the nursery landscape was bad when I put Darcy into nursery in 2018.
It is much worse now.
So much worse now.
Yeah.
The nursery that I paid £45 a day for Darcy to go to, I don't think charges far less than £80 a day now, 6 years later. 6 years later and almost doubled in price per fucking day. That is absolutely insane to me.
I remind my 93-year-old grandma pretty much every time I go around to see her that it costs us £50 a day for Lola to go to nursery. The minute we get enough free hours at term time, but out of term, which, by the way, completely fucking useless, because a child's school term has absolutely
no correlation to an adult's work life.
Working. It's insane. So anyway, £50 a day, and it just blows her mind. A tiny little mind, born in the 1930s, and she's like, £50 a day? Yes, mate.
It's like, you could buy a house for £50.
Please don't vote for the Tories, Grandma. Not again. Anyway. Follow through on current plans for childcare funding.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So they want to continue with... They want to basically take the Conservatives funding programme that they've kind of announced.
Which is rubbish.
Which is shit. And make continue with that. No, they okay. want to. They want to maintain that policy.
Okay.
Which...
That's a shame.
It's dog shit, because what's the point in opening 3,500 new nurseries when more than that are going to close because they can't afford to run?
Yeah.
Because they're not being funded enough?
So that's kind of... Sense. That seems to me like one of those policies that they've put there to look really nice and shiny when actually it means nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Labour, come on, mate. Come on. We've got review current parental policies for mat leave.
They've actually not really put much more detail out about that.
Yeah.
They said they want to review what's currently going on.
I don't like this word review, because the word review is the main thing, but you read all the rest of it and you think that's the main thing, when actually the word review is the main thing, because what that means is they'll look at it, which means absolutely nothing.
What the word review means in politics is that a group of, say, 6 to 8 people that are all earning from £80,000 to £100,000 a year
will read something.
Will have one meeting about it.
Yeah. They'll have one meeting about it.
Maybe two meetings about it.
Maybe a follow-on meeting just to see how everyone thought it went.
And then it will never be spoken of again. So fuck that policy.
Straight into the shredder.
Yeah.
Lovely. And then recruit 6,500 new teachers. Now that does look nice, but I don't think that's enough, is it?
I don't think there are 6,500 people that want to be teachers.
Where are you recruiting them from, Labour? where are these people coming from? Well, I suppose that depends on what their immigration policies are, aren't they? If it's similar to the Conservative immigration policy, then there is no one, there's no one here to recruit.
Yeah,
because you won't let anyone in.
Yeah, all the teachers are in Rwanda.
All the teachers are in Rwanda, and we're all
maybe
here.
Maybe we send all the children to Rwanda.
Hey, I mean, have you been watching The Misadventures of Ramesh Ranganathan?
I haven't.
Because he did an episode in Rwanda, and actually, looks pretty fucking lovely.
Granny was Irish. Will they deport me?
Probably. Do you know what they do in Rwanda? They have like a government scheme because they had like some really horrible shit happen to them not that long ago, and they've sort of like sorted themselves out. It's like a really beautiful country. They have a thing that just happens, and everyone does it. One day a month, every single member of the country goes out and litter picks, and the country's spotless.
Oh, that's really cute.
And everyone just fucking does it.
Another Labour policy I think is worth mentioning is the plan to charge VAT to private schools.
I mean...
Which I think... Private schools are not a charity.
No.
Private schools are...
No!
Are there
a business?
To make money.
Yeah.
So why are they being given charitable status anyway?
Well, because, you know, we know why.
We know why.
We don't need to say why. We know why.
But yeah, I think that's quite a good policy.
That's a lovely policy. Thank you. Yeah, I like that, Labour. Very nice. Okay, next.
Next up, we have fucking Reform UK. I'm surprised that they actually even have a manifesto, because I thought most of them couldn't read.
I thought their manifesto would just be, just like them doing their stupid, like, turkey. Posh turkey chins.
I thought their manifesto was just written on the back of a beer mat.
Yeah.
But apparently not. So their policies are...
I mean, I didn't really want them to be on this list because I don't see them as a candidate because they're so awful. I don't class them as a viable candidate.
Yeah.
But it is a really good opportunity to just shit on Nigel Farage and his awful, awful views on people.
Everything.
Yeah.
So one of their policies is that they want to increase child benefit for preschool children. So, and I've put a parent, but we forget that it's Reform UK. So they mean a mother can stay at home and look after the kids. Fine.
But...
Okay,
sure. Okay, I'll take that.
I'll take an increase in child benefit, but it really annoys me that they've been like, it's going back to that, like, quote unquote, old fashioned family values,
yeah.
where there was only a very small snapshot in time that was the norm,
that one
working parent was the norm.
Yeah.
And even then it was only for like middle class families and above.
A parent. Yeah. So true. Yeah, it's the wording of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, like, you know, that's a really nice policy on paper in terms of, like, you know, financially helping new parents, sure. But if Reform UK do get into power, then I will be,
you know, getting out of the country.
I'll be taking a pitchfork to...
I'll be pulling a Guy Fawkes.
I will be giving 100% Guy Fawkes if that happens.
Yeah.
I'll be giving, you know, the moustache and the hat with the feather. I'll be doing all of it. I'm going to have to learn very quickly how dynamite works.
Start Googling it now.
Now.
So, they also want to increase the marriage tax allowance. So, I don't know if you're aware of a current policy that allows... So, say you've got one higher earner and one stay-at-home person in the relationship.
Yeah.
It allows a certain amount of their... It basically allows the tax-free allowance of the other person or
it's like you're passing on some of the free tax.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. So they want to increase that so that...
Same thing, isn't it?
Well-off couples can afford to have one person stay at home.
Yeah.
Which it's a misogynistic...
It's misogynistic. It's assuming that, like, this is going to be beneficial for everyone, but not everyone is in a really, like, a same-sex, you know, like a
heterosexual relationship. Heteronormative relationship,
yeah. It's kind of, all of these policies, they're trying to make it sound really nice, but what they're saying is, I think it'd be better if you stay at home, love.
Yeah, their next policy is they want to remove the right of women to vote. But it's not.
I actually looked at the list and I believed you. That's how awful these people are. So I was like, yeah. And then what they'll do, they'll make sure we're giving all of our free tax to our husbands.
So
they're going to make sure that we're at home. Oh, look, we can have loads of money while you're home bearing all the children, but stay at home. Make sure you stay at home. You don't need a job because we're giving you loads of free money. It's fine. You stay at home. Oh, by the way, you're not allowed to vote. That's what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yes. Just
this is such a shit policy, yeah. Sinead.
So just to clarify... we're not removing women's suffrage.
No, we're not.
But their next policy is dog shit, and it is introduce smartphone restrictions for children, which again...
What does that even mean?
I think they want to... again, it's going back to that...
old-fashioned values.
It's going back to that, like, let's live in the fake 1950s.
Let's live in the fake 1950s where, like, children weren't allowed information. That's what it is, but they don't want kids having more information.
I think that's the root of it, but I think the way that they're trying to portray it to the people that will vote for them we want your kids to go and play outside.
Sure thing. In the fields. There'll be loads of spare fields because we won't let anyone in our country.
Yeah, and then the final one is the one that really gets my goat, and they want significant reform of the school curriculum.
Yeah, well, we all know what that means, don't we?
Yeah, it means that we're going to be basically section 28ing transness.
Yeah.
It means that there's going to be no talk about colonialism. Mm-hmm. They're going to rewrite history.
Is it going to be like that?
God save the king.
What's the state in America that's just put that ban up, like, you have to teach the Bible in school? It's going to be like that, isn't it?
Is it like, I fucking know. Somewhere in the south.
Somewhere in the south of America.
Yeah.
It's going to be that. It's going
to
be...
yeah, it's going to be kind of reverting back to those weird, again, fake 1950s sensibilities.
Yeah.
They just show a complete unwillingness to live in...
this year.
In this year.
Just the present day.
In the present day. It absolutely blows my mind that anyone would vote for these absolute fucking clowns.
Because they've convinced themselves that they can just live in the past and that that's okay. And I just find that, if anything, Sinead, like, we can complain about it until the cows come home, right? But for me, I just feel so much pity for these people because I just think, how boring.
Yeah.
How boring.
How small is your world?
To just want to keep hold of all of that and not let anything change and not think about how other people think and, like, maybe consider that that might be more interesting.
Yeah.
There's more interesting stuff going on in the world.
This makes me really, really fucking angry. But it also makes me sad.
So sad.
It makes me sad that there are people out there that feel so dissatisfied with their own lives that the only way that they can conceive of to make their life feel better is to restrict the freedoms of other people.
Every other type of person that isn't.
And it is just
them, white and straight.
Yeah, I just see it as just this desperate trying to grasp at justifying themselves as people.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah,
trans people aren't exactly like me. Does that mean I should change? And in their head they're like, no, I shouldn't change, but trans people should. Should be exactly like me. Everybody should be exactly like me. This desperate need to, like,
and if they're not,
homogenize
and if
society.
They're not, then that somehow is a slight on me and the way I want to live. No, it's fucking not. No trans person is trying to come into your house and deal with you.
Like, it's actually...
because you're very boring.
It's actually none of your fucking business.
None of your fucking business. That's what Reform UK should really be called. Everything's my business.
The Everything Is My Business party.
It's not. It's really not.
Anyway, after that, shall we move on to the next delightful party on our list?
Oh, girl, shall we? Shall we, heck? It's my absolute favourite. Ding, ding. It's the Conservatives. Woohoo! Oh, good God. Oh, it just makes me want to...
So I've written these notes and I realise that I've written this first one, like, really, really...
Let me see if I can
unreadable.
Read it. Child benefit reform to change income cap to household. Yeah, no, sorry, guys.
So, are you aware of how current the child benefit limits currently work?
I mean, you said that very accusatory, but no. Do you actually know, Rosie? Do you know how they work?
I mean, not that it applies to either of us, but basically, the limit to claim child benefit is £50,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a couple, both parents can earn £49,999.
Oh, no, I do know about this. Yeah, I do know. Yeah.
And you can still get child benefit.
Yeah.
But if one parent earns £50,000,
yeah,
the other parent earns £0, you can't get child benefit.
Yeah.
So what the Tories want to do is combine the amount you're allowed to earn. So they want to make it £120,000 per couple.
Okay. Fine. I guess.
Not that it applies to me.
I mean...
But this is targeting their voting demographic.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's for people who are earning way more than most of the population and are in that... But the thing is, this is the thing that annoys me, because this is something me and Dave had to talk about when Dave got his promotion, because it was like, is this something we're going to have to worry about in the future? And I think what it made me realise is like, if that's something that might happen to us, then we're obviously earning enough to not worry about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if that money's taken away from us, then it's not going to affect us massively.
£100 a month.
Yeah. It's not going to affect our livelihoods as much as, like, other benefits sort of stuff is affecting people that are much worse off than us. So for me, yeah, you're right. It is, like, completely for middle-class people, isn't
it? None of my fucking business.
None of my business, Conservatives. Okay, what's next? Funded childcare hours to remain. Okay, so they're dog shit.
Yeah, no change to their current policies.
No change to that. They've not even... There's not even a review in there. They're not even going to have a meeting about it. It's going to stay the same. Everybody hates it, but we're going to keep it exactly the same because we think that's the best way for us to continue being in charge of this country.
Because we harbour bad opinions.
Well, it's going to be fine, though. We'll still be in charge and we'll just continue shitting on anyone that has a child. Great. Wonderful. Funded childcare hours to remain. There are no hours. That's the problem. Pricks. Okay,
What, you mean the same ones you closed down?
Opening family hubs.
You mean the Sure Start centres that you fucking closed down in the 14 years you've been in power?
What's that? Is your local MP going to come and unlock the door and blow the dust off all the surfaces? Like, you can come back in now!
It's just unbelievable. You know what this is reminding me of? Is like, when they were like, we're going to hire, like, 2,000 more nurses or whatever the number was. And it was like, what, to replace the 5,000 you've cut?
It was insane. It was like, I think it was something like, we're going to hire 2,000 more. And then someone was like, but you've got rid of 20,000. It's like, it makes no sense.
Oh, it's just... These policies are
idiots.
Dog shit.
So bad. I don't know if I'm tempting fate by saying this. But what I was going to ask you is, do you think they're sort of thrown in the towel a little bit? They're just like, whatever.
Oh, I think Rishi Sunak's already written his resignation.
Yeah, like, whatever.
I think even if the Conservatives won, Rishi Sunak would not remain prime.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a shit.
He has mentally checked out.
Yeah, he's mentally checked out.
This job.
He mentally checks out when the rain was hitting his shoulders and things can only get better with playing in the background. That's when you could see it in his eyes. He was just reading it out and he was like, nah, I'm done, mate.
Fuck this. I'm going to go to America and earn billions more pounds.
I'm gonna stop acting like what I conceive to be a poor person and go back and hang out with my massively rich wife. Because currently, where he's living in 10 Downing Street is squalor.
Yeah.
For his family.
But, like, yeah, I think that's another part of it, though. Like, he's unfathomably rich. So to him, the Prime Minister's salary, which is like well over 100k, I think their like compensation package is over 100k, is a drop in the ocean. Yeah. And he's like, is it worth it?
No, of course it's
not. No, if you already have £1 billion, it's not...
Working, to run the country for 100,000 a year is really not worth it, yeah, is it? It's
that
really
was incredibly poor planning on Rishi Sunak's
so
part.
Poor. Do you know what he could have done? Just to kind of like
bought some high heels.
He could have donated. He could have said, "I'm going to donate every penny of my salary to poor people." Or something.
Would he have said that?
No, he wouldn't, but like he could do that.
Oh, he could do that, and it would have absolutely no impact on the day-to-day running of his life.
So I was just thinking then about like them sort of throwing in the towel. They just don't give a shit anymore. I was thinking the other day, the whole, what would you call it? The Rwanda saga, right? I personally believe that they've set that up purposely. No intention at all of making it work, no intention at all of it actually happening, but maybe implementing it in such a way that as soon as they're overthrown, the next party in power has to deal with it and clean it up, and it to be a failure on their part. It's not going to be, oh, do you remember when the Conservatives came up with that insane idea about sending immigrants to Rwanda? It's then going to be like the next party's problem, and it will inevitably fail because it's a shit idea. And then it's going to be Labour fail at the Rwanda thing, you know? Yeah. And that's what's going to be remembered.
But it's very much like, it's giving David Cameron making Brexit happen.
Yeah.
And then being like, I'm out.
Bye.
Bye. Like, referendum results coming in and him being like, goodbye.
See you later. Yeah, so true. So true.
I often think, like, this haunts my mind on a regular basis, is that we would live in an entirely different world if Ed Miliband had just eaten a sandwich a bit less weird in 2015.
Do you know, it's so funny that you think of it as you. Your point of view is that it's because he ate that sandwich weird. From my point of view, it's they should have let the Hot Brother do it.
I am a diehard Ed Miliband fan.
No, they chose the wrong Miliband. they should have let, because look, I think
David Miliband is hotter?
Yes! I think if David Miliband had ate that sandwich, you'd have had no problems at all.
And Brexit wouldn't have happened.
It's Ed Miliband's fault for that sandwich. Fucking hell. Anyway, right, last one.
We'll end on quite a nice one. Yeah. Good policies. This is the Green Party. They want to introduce 35 funded childcare hours as standard. Which I think is good. Currently it's like they top out at 30, and anything above that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
35 more closely aligns with what a full-time work week is.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
They want, like Labour, to introduce free breakfast clubs for primary school aged children.
Okay, I'm just thinking about this now, this whole breakfast thing.
Has the Green Party copied Labour's homework?
Or maybe.
Or has Labour copied the Green Party's homework?
More likely that one. I'm just wondering why every single party seems to be completely, like, so scared of doing free school dinners. Like, all of us just want free school dinners.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, but what about, how about, guys, just an idea. What about breakfast club? But we work. It's pointless. Completely pointless. Can we just have free school dinners? What about Toast Station? You want a toast station? Free toast station. Toast and jam for all the kids. Yeah, but I'd rather them have a hot meal at school in the middle of the day for free for their entire primary school career. please. What about Breakfast Club? Should we call it Breakfast Club? What is their deal? Why can't they do dinners?
I don't know.
What's the deal? It would make so much sense for every single primary school age child to get a free school dinner, no matter who you are.
An absolutely immense difference to the lives of children who are living in food poverty.
Of course. I mean, we are, like, I'm in a very, very privileged position to be able to buy whatever food we want and make nice dinners. And yet, Ramona constantly pines for a lunch. And I'm like, are you fuck getting a school lunch? You are having your free school dinner. You are having your free school dinner. I'm not taking you with a packed lunch.
I'm exactly the same.
Shit food.
I've told Darcy
not doing it,
because she often will ask me to have packed lunches, and no, she gets free school dinners till the end of next school year.
Yeah,
and
that is what you shall have.
And that is what she shall have. Until she is old enough to pack her own lunch
and eat it all
without
fail.
She's not having school to, she's yeah, not yeah. having packed lunches. She's, no it's way. Just not happening.
No.
Anyway, moving on. They want to remove the 2-child limit on child benefit, which I think was an immeasurably cruel policy to begin with. Mm. That its studies have been shown. That's not even a fucking sentence. Studies have shown that one change to policy could lift like 500,000 children out of poverty.
Yeah.
Why are children being punished?
Because they're poor children, Jeanette.
Yeah, because they're poor children. Obviously.
They don't count, do they? Of course not.
They want to scrap uni tuition fees.
Yes, please.
Big yes for that.
Sorry, Nick Clegg, are you listening? You're dead to me. And you always will be. Sorry.
They want to introduce £8 billion worth of funding into
Thank
schools.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Where they're going to get this £8 billion from, I don't think they've specified, but £8 billion of funding sounds great.
I mean, they've not said it, but wouldn't it be really, really nice if Green Party got in by a big majority and they were like, so you know how we said we were going to get £8 billion and put it into
schools?
We're
going to take it all from Rishi Sunak.
Yeah. Standing outside Downing Street with Rishi Sunak's wife and one of those massive checks. Handing it over. No, I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if they're like, we're going to take that from the water companies for all the shit that they put in your waters.
Yeah, we're going to take
it over
the electricity companies for overcharging you for electricity.
Every single one of you fuckers can pay £1 billion. Come on, Severn Trent, hand it over. We're the Green Party and we're in charge. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
That would be cool.
And I get this idea as well because it's the Green Party. They'd be like, and if you don't, then we'll get the witches to hex you. And they'll have like, they'll do like a weird parade, you know, like you get in villages, like a pagan ritual just to scare the shit out of the like insects. I'd love that. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
They also want to introduce a 4-day working week. So like the premise of you working for 4 days, but getting paid for a full 5-day week, which I think would be massively beneficial to most families.
I think it would be massively beneficial for every single person in this country's mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that in the year of our Lord 2024, there is any need for anybody to be working for 5 days a week.
No, I absolutely agree. There's no need. So, the thing is, Sinead, some people work 7 days a week. Yeah. Some people work 2 jobs 7 days a week.
It's a big no thank you from me. I say that having a full-time job and also actively choosing to have an unpaid second full-time job.
Yeah, that's very true, isn't it? Would this count? Do we get to do 2 days of each? If we ask really nicely, listen, Green Party, I'm pretty good at making shit, right? I could be in charge of their parades, their pagan parades, right? I could make like little corn dollies and shit and costumes. And we'd be like, look, if I do all that for you, just to scare all the bigwigs.
Can we have
paying,
2 days to work on this
two
podcast?
2 podcast days, 2 normal job days. What's your other normal job, Rosie? Art. I don't know, that sounds like a pretty good deal for you. Yes, it does. Thank you, madam.
Thank you, madam. So that brings us to a close on governmental policy.
It does.
For this episode.
That was really fun. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that quite a lot. Did we want to say anything else about politics?
Shall we just do a quick rundown of policies that we would enact if we were made, dictator of the country tomorrow?
It's not sounding good when you're starting that with dictator. What sort of policies
nice
would you be
dictator,
into?
Not,
nice, like nice one.
Not
nice one.
Not nasty.
Not nasty one. Nice dictator.
My first thing that I would do is nationalise Wetherspoons, dethrone the monarchy,
yes,
and turn Buckingham Palace into a massive mega spoons.
That would be perfect because the toilets would be fucking hours away from the bar, like a normal Wetherspoons.
So that would be my first policy.
Can I just ask you, because you know my thoughts on the royal family.
Yeah.
I'd like to, I think I class myself as anti-royalist, so I'm all for overthrowing monarchy. I think they can all
and turning
go to
Palace
hell.
Into Wetherspoons.
What I want to know is, do you want to overthrow the monarchy just because of the Wetherspoons thing, or also because the monarchy are pointless?
Also because...
Okay, fine. That's fine.
Predominantly because...
Okay, good.
The monarchy.
I just was double checking, because if you were like, no, I'm big into the Wetherspoons thing, If they want to move, if they want to carry on being the monarchy but move house, it's just about Buckingham Palace.
But maybe we take all of their palaces and turn them all into
Wetherspoons.
Which is nationalised, so none of the money is going to go to that terrible man.
Awful
that owns
man, yeah, yeah. And also on top of that, if you are seeking asylum in this country,
then you can go and live in a spoon.
You get 10% off.
Yes,
that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
So that's my first policy. My second policy would be to introduce a universal basic income, mm-hmm. which is a policy that I talk to anyone that will listen to me about all the time, because loads of pilot studies have been done all across the world, so in quite a lot of different Scandinavian countries, in several different states in America. The outcomes of these studies have always been really positive. There's been no, like... So the premise of universal basic income is that everybody is given an amount of money each month that should cover their basic living expenses. So basic housing expenses, basic food. You can still have a job and earn money on top of that if you wish. But these pilot studies have shown no kind of desire to stop working. But more like an encouragement for people to study and get different jobs that they would maybe enjoy more. Or some people might just want to be like, no, I'm happy being a bin man, but I can live and then use my bin man wages to go on holiday or whatever. It's also, I mean, say for example, £2,000 a month per person in the country sounds like a hell of a lot of money, and it is, but it's also incredibly expensive to administrate a means tested benefit system like we currently have. For universal credit and PIP are absolutely astronomical, because they're having to pay people to investigate that the people claiming are actually allowed to claim, whereas if everybody was just allowed it, if everybody just had access to this money every single month, that would cut down costs astronomically. That's a policy I feel really, really passionate about.
I noticed.
Do you have any policies you would enact, Rosie?
Well, obviously I'd overthrow the monarchy.
Fuck the king.
Fuck the king. I'm sorry, but it's just ridiculous. And everything that they stand for. I don't know, I've not thought enough about it to know exactly what the policy would be, but I know that I would have a much better, a pro-immigration approach to our country.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer.
This country was built by immigrants.
Yes.
This is a country of immigrants. There's not really like a indigenous British person, per se.
Yeah. I think it's really, I think it's absolutely disgusting the way that people have been treated, especially quite recently. Awful. Yeah, I'm very, very pro-immigration. I would, so there's a couple of policies I'd put in place. One of them is I would get rid of the no-fault eviction thing, which is where a landlord can just evict you for no reason.
Yeah, they're like, I want my house back.
I want my house back, and then they have to fuck off. But also on top of that, I would make it much harder to be a landlord in general. I don't think that the landlord sort of economy and...
I would, disincentivise. Yeah. Just remove any benefit
from being a
landlord.
Yeah, yeah. Like all that capital, all that money that people are making, I think it's awful.
I think you don't ever really need more than one house.
No. And I think if you are having another house, then you should be taxed massively for it, and it shouldn't be something that you can, you know, monopolise, and not on top of people's lives, essentially, because that's what people are doing now. It's awful.
Yeah, that's I think that's what it boils down to. I don't think that we should be putting the ability to provide somebody else with a basic necessity for life.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fundamental human right to have access to shelter, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that we should be putting that in the hands of somebody that can just take it away on a whim.
No. Well, and on that, I'd make the whole social housing system much better. Mm-hmm. There'd be lots of social housing. I certainly wouldn't be making it illegal to be homeless. That's another thing. I think homelessness would be, like, tackled. I don't know what the policy would be, but I would have lots of meetings, not just one meeting, Sinead. I'd have loads of meetings with people from the LGBT trans community to talk about what policies need to be put in place to make their lives better, not worse.
Yeah.
So we'd be making sure there's, like, a complete reform on sort of, like, you know, gender equality, gender education, mm-hmm. all of it. What else would I do? I don't know, like, a fun one, free tickets to festivals. Something like that, I don't know. Free tickets to festivals. Can't think of any, like, more serious ones.
A national, like, nationally funded festival.
Yeah, they could be national holidays, but it's like, they're good ones. They're not just like people putting up fucking Union Jack bunting. That's another thing that I'd do. Abolish Union Jack bunting.
You know another one that I would do? I would give us a bank holiday every weekend. Not every weekend, a bank holiday once a month. Because I think the rarity does make them more exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
But one bank holiday per month.
I think I'd go one a quarter. I think once a month is too much. If we're having a 4-day week, then...
Oh, yeah, a 4-day week is a bank holiday every week.
If we have a 4-day week and then a bank holiday once a quarter, and every single one of those bank holidays, I know what... Right, I've got this. I've got it. Put me in power. We go to a 4-day week. All of those things you said, yes. All of the things I said, yes. So we have a 4-day week. We have a bank holiday once a quarter, and each of those bank holidays are in line with, like, a pagan tradition. So it would be like, you know, you'd have Samhain, and what's the one in Ireland that's really good, where we celebrate the goddess of, what's her bloody name, Bridget.
St. Bridget's Day.
So they could all be, and it's all to do with
Samhain.
So they'd all be like about nature and the earth and the moving of the seasons and all that sort of thing. And that's how it would be celebrated. So it's not about celebrating a fucking... God or like...
Some God shit.
Or like, you know, the royal family and all that bollocks. It'd be something that you could be educated in as well, you know, yeah. And how the land works and all that shit.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Wowzers.
And on that note, do you have a love of the week?
I do have a love of the week. So I do want to give... I've got like a honourable mention...
Yeah.
For love, which is Dave, because he's done some really fucking great carpentry this week.
Aww.
So he's built like a really amazing wardrobe on a really awkward part of the girls' room. So thank you, Dave. It's really good. He's done a pro job. Good. But my actual love of the week is girls supporting girls. So I did went to a car boot on Sunday and bought some clothes. And I bought this beautiful, like, sparkly dress.
Which is amazing, and I'm obsessed with it.
Well, it was £1, and it was Zara, so I thought, I'll buy it, because it's lovely. It's, like, stripy and sparkly, all sort of, like, blues and greens. And then I got home, and I put it on, and it fits me, but it's tight. It's a tight dress. And it terrifies me. And I looked in the mirror, and I was just like, oh, no, I don't think I'm going to be able to wear this. It's too tight. So I posted my videos of the stuff I got from my car boot haul, because people like that. And I was like, I don't know about this dress, guys. I was like, I felt so self-conscious. I thought about it for the rest of the day because I was just like, oh, I look awful. It's too tight. And so many of you, including you, Sinead, so many girls responded just like, the dress is amazing. You have to keep it. You look great.
Yeah.
And people that I don't know very well, people who like, I don't think I've spoken to in real life, and all of them, like, you should keep the dress. It looks amazing. And it felt so good. I don't like posting things like that because I don't want to come across as someone that's like, you know,
like fishing
for compliments, because I'm not that sort of person. I don't want people to, but I did it. I genuinely felt like quite worried about it. I was like, this has genuinely made me feel quite sad that I bought this beautiful dress and put it on and now I feel like shit. And to have that amount of people be like, hey, you look great, you should keep it.
I think you would look wonderful in that dress with the red lipstick that you wore for the live show.
Well, I think we're just going to have to make another show happen, aren't we, so I can wear the dress.
Yeah.
So thank you, girls. Thank you for anyone
responded.
Yeah,
I need to buy a mermaid. Corresponding mermaid outfit.
We could have a mermaid show, mermaid based show.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
What's your love of the week?
I actually haven't thought about work.
What about the baby that you held? Was that a love?
Actually, my love of the week is twofold.
Okay.
One of my loves of the week is our tattooist.
Oh, yeah.
Sophie.
Oh, man.
She's just...
She's the best.
She's just the dream.
Isn't she?
I've recently had two new tattoos. Mm-hmm. And during one of them, I fell asleep.
I mean, that's probably the best case scenario for a tattooist.
My face, like, pushed so far. I didn't have my glasses on. I had my face, like, pushed into my arm. And I kind of woke up and turned around, like, ugh. And my eyelashes were like this.
They
were
stuck to your eyes.
I'd given myself like a lash lift by accident. Nice. Before I'd been asleep. And I was like, was I just asleep? And she was like, yeah.
Probably
I was
gone.
Tattooing your elbow. You're a psychopath.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I just love her so much. I love spending time with her.
If you want tattoos in Leicester, it's at May Quinn Tattoo. Is it tattoo or tattoos? But May is spelled M-A-E-Q-U-I-N-N. Check her out, she's amazing.
Tag her on Instagram. And then my other love of the week is our dear friend Sky, who came to support us at our live show and brought her lovely boyfriend Max. I treated myself to one of her candles last Friday.
Is it amazing?
Yeah, I got the Brazilian sexy man smell.
Oh, Brazilian sexy man smell. Is that
Brazilian
what she calls it?
Orange and sandalwood, I believe it is.
I was going to say, she's not putting that on the candles, is she?
But don't quote me on that. I picked the orange part. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just love her. She's great. Just the fucking best.
She's great. She's a lovely lady.
Her,
I love her.
And her boyfriend gave me a lift home. Aww. From last Friday. She's just an absolute little ray of sunshine.
Not just your average nail technician.
Not just your average nail technician / market hot stall holder /
candle maker,
butcher maker, candlestick maker.
Yeah. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Sky.
She is just
Tinker Tailor Soldier Sky. Wow, we found that more funny than we should have. Jesus. Sorry, Sky. Sorry about that.
And she's supported our podcast like pretty much since day one. What? And she doesn't even have kids
she
of her own.
Kids. She's just a lovely lad. I just love her. She's also really fit.
So, oh my what god, on Friday I looked at her. Beautiful and I was like, oh lady. God, you look amazing.
She's so pretty. Yeah.
So yeah, Sophie and Sky are my loves of the week. Mm-hmm. I just am obsessed with them.
Well done. Well done.
Loads of the week, Rosie.
So my loads of the week is I think I might have PTSD for something that's not yet happened.
Is it the Conservatives winning this election?
It is not that. And that's how bad. That's how scared I am of the summer holidays, is that that's giving me more anxiety than the Conservatives getting into power again. I'm so terrified about the summer holidays. We are putting the girls into like summer school twice a week, but I'm still terrified. They've been very, very unhappy with life this week. Lots of tantrums, lots of anger, lots of shouting, lots of screaming.
I'm sure they have really horrible, terrible lives.
They fucking hate each other. They hate both of us. They hate everything that we ask them to do. They scream at the tops of their voices all day long, and I don't want to deal with it for 6 weeks, but I'm going to have to, and I'm really worried about it. So that's mine. What's your loathe? We'll say no more about it. What's your loathe of the week?
I think my loathe of the week is just the constant nagging fear that the Conservatives will win this election. Mm.
I think maybe I'm more anxious about it than I think.
I think that's genuinely, like, that. Yeah. That's my PTSD, because it has happened.
Yeah, yeah, it could continue to happen. It's like we've been given, it's like we've been, like, held captive, and someone's walked past us with the key. And, like,
they're dangling that carrot in front of us.
And it's like, on Thursday, it's whether or not they're going to unlock that door.
Like, I'm genuinely terrified to wake up on Thursday morning.
Yeah, me too.
I have actively tried not to think about it.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about it and I feel sick.
Yeah. I might have to get Dave to look at his phone first and then break the news to me.
I might just have to ask Alexa.
You do that. Alexa, is it worth me living for any more than today? No. Sorry.
I don't want one.
Alexa, who will win the general election?
God, that's...
I don't like that.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like the mods.
Alexa, shut up. I don't want to hear any more of your shit. Oh my god. Okay, well now I'm more scared about waking up on Thursday morning. Great.
Right, so
that's
this...
a great place to end, isn't it?
Yeah, so hopefully this podcast will go out tomorrow, mm-hmm. Which is Wednesday. So this is a perfect time for us to say, make sure you exercise your right to vote.
Please.
People fought and died,
yeah,
if you're a woman, for your right to vote. So
please vote.
Please don't waste it.
Everyone vote.
And please don't waste it on voting Conservative. Or
vote.
Before UK. So go and vote. Exercise your civic duties.
See you on the flip side of the Jenny Lek.
Yeah. Keep your fingers crossed. We love you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.